A very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Thursday class, 15th of October 2020. So as usual, we will be continuing with the Heart Sutta. We are on page 238, Appendix 4. Today, the topic is quite interesting. They call it the 31 plane of existence. This is the Buddhist cosmology of our universe, according to the Buddha. Through his perfection of wisdom and virtue, he was able to develop the clear understanding of the cosmology of our universe. So he classify our cosmology into 31 plane of existence or rhymes of existence. So this topic is quite interesting for those who may not understand what Buddhist cosmology is. After when I share, I can explain so that you all can develop the clearer understanding. Just relax body and mind. Make sure you have a stable posture so that you can develop the meditation. So as usual, we will have half an hour of awareness-based meditation. We are off the light. Then after that, you can start your meditation straight away. For those who already know how to meditate, you just proceed. For those who still need some form of instruction, I will give you the very basic and most suitable. Like we always share, to meditate is to develop mindfulness leading to heedfulness. So to be mindful is to be aware without thought. So what we need to do is to follow the four basic support for awareness-based meditation, especially the first three. The first support is always relax. Relax into every mind state that arises, entire body and mind. When we are relaxed means we are at ease, we are at peace, we don't have problem. That is the meaning of relax. Just relax. Completely free your mind and let your physical body completely relax. Like when you are very tired, just relax. Don't do anything. Then the second support is very important. Second support is to just maintain awareness, aware. And the third support is the continuation from there. You maintain that awareness for as long as you can. Technically, it's 24 hours. Just develop the ability to be aware until your awareness become very stable, until you understand what the awareness nature, which is your true mind, is all about. Without thought, you are with that nature. When there is thought, you are distracted. You become heedless. You are lost in thought. So very simple. Relax. Maintain awareness for as long as you can. Don't try to know. Don't do anything. Then whatever arises, the form and mind, because we have our senses with the consciousness trapped inside. So upon contact, consciousness will arise. It can be tactile consciousness, smell, taste, thought consciousness, or even seeing and hearing. So whenever you pick up the consciousness, don't try to think. Don't allow the mind to proliferate. Don't get yourself involved so that you are not distracted. Just aware, finish. Aware, finish. So relax, maintain awareness. Then let the mind settle down until it returns to its original nature before the stirring. Until your awareness of that silent mind, that awareness nature, become very stable. Then the meditation will proceed on its own. Okay, I will start off with the 30 minutes of timekeeping. Then you all can continue with the meditation. Then we will continue with our sharing. Turn to page 238. We are at Appendix 4 of the Heart Sutra, version 2, second version. The title of today's sharing is The 31 Planes of Existence, or sometimes it's also known as the 31 Rhymes of Existence. Like I explained just now, this is a Buddhist cosmology. It explained to us how our universe cosmology is all about. So the Buddha, through his wisdom, after many, many eons of cultivation and perfection, after he has become the fully enlightened one, he has this understanding and realization. Then he was able to explain to us clearly what our this rhyme of existence or plane of existence is all about. He said our universe, there are a total of 31 rhymes of existence of beings. So these 31 are subdivided into three main rhymes. The first division is the sensual rhyme, rhyme of the senses, where there is sensuality. Then you have the form rhyme, and we have the uppermost, the formless rhyme. Sometimes they use the word immaterial to represent the formless rhyme. In Pali, it's called Arupa Loka. Loka is world. Arupa is formless. Rupa is form. Arupa is formless. Then the other rhyme is the fine material or form world. They call it Rupa Loka. Then the last one is Kama Loka. This Kama is K-A-M-A. Kama means sensual. Kama Tangha. Bawa Tangha. Vibawa Tangha. So Kama is craving. Sensual. Tangha is craving. So Kama Tangha is sensual craving. And Bawa Tangha is craving for existence. Vibawa Tangha is craving for non-existence. So these 31 planes are very interesting understanding of the cosmology within the entire universe. So for us, our human rhyme, we are actually classified under the sensual rhyme called Kama Loka. So under the sensual rhyme, we have the Deva rhymes. Deva rhymes are called heavenly rhymes. They are the rhyme of the heavens, where the heavenly beings live. So there are six Deva rhymes under this Kama Loka. And because they have this sensuality, they are called the sensual rhyme. Then below the sixth rhyme of Deva rhymes, we have the human rhyme. They call it the Manusa. Manusa means the human rhyme. Manusaloka. So this Manusa, together with the Devas, they are the happy rhyme. We call them the Kamaloka Sukati. Sukati means happy, the happy rhyme. So these are beings with good karma, with good karmic support or inheritance. If you have good karmic support, you can be born into all this rhyme. Especially Deva rhymes. You must have minimum 5 precepts, otherwise very difficult to be born in the Deva rhymes. Then you must have a lot of meritorious support, means the wholesome meritorious action that you have done, the cause of rebirth on the right hand side. You can see here the right hand side. So this one is the happy rhyme, Kama Tukati Sukati. Kama Sukati, happy rhyme. So Kamaloka, Kamaloka Sukati. So the cause of rebirth is, as you can see here, you have the 10 meritorious action or wholesome actions, meritorious wholesome action. Then you have generosity. You develop virtue and wisdom. This 6 Deva rhyme I will explain to you one by one. Starting with the number 6, the lowest. They are called the Deva rhymes of the 4 great kings or Chatur Maharajika Devas. So these are the Suda Tian Wang, the 4 guardian devas in the 4 directions. If you go to Mahayana temple, you will pass through the first building. The first building, normally, they will have Maitreya Buddha. Maitreya is the future Buddha after Sakyamuni. So after Maitreya Buddha, immediately behind Maitreya is the Chaku Maharajika Devas, the 4 heavenly Devas, or they call it the Suta Tian Wang. You can see their rupa, the images. They like look very fierce, big size. So they are the 4 directional Devas, who actually they call it the guardian Devas because they are supposed to guard our planets and all those things. Then the notes there, if you read the notes at the center session comments, home of the Gandhavas, the celestial musician, and the Yakas. The 3 Devas or spirits are also included here, of varying degrees of ethical purity. The latter are analogous to the goblins, trolls, and fairies of the Western fairy tales. They call it fairy tale. Actually, the Western Greek mythology. Why? There is a comment from Ananda. We read the comment. He raised hand means what? Is it a sound? Ananda? Can you tell us what happened? Ananda? Can you unmute Ananda?
Sorry?
Yes, now you read.
Oh, sorry about that. It's my Bluetooth suddenly off the sound and I'm pressing something.
Oh, okay. So,
sorry, I'm mistaken.
It's okay.
My Bluetooth system.
It's okay. Because Sui saw you wait.
Okay. Sorry.
No problem. So, we will continue. Right? Okay. Just now, where was I? Oh, yeah. First level of devas. The Chaturmaharajika devas. Sudhadhyanwang. The four guardian devas. So the Western mythology, I think they also have this, they call fairies or goblins, troll. Then they have their Western cosmology, especially the Romans, the European side, the Greek mythology and all those things. Then after the four guardian devas, we have the famous 33 god, Tavatinsa heavens. Tavatinsa heaven, or they call it the 33 gods, are the devas that actually under the control of King Saka. King Saka is supposed to be the king of the 33 gods or Tavatinsa heavens. So here all the devas are under his control. Then it seems he also oversees the world or planet, living beings, human beings especially. So if you do a lot of wholesomeness or merits or you meditate very well, it seems King Saka, the seat will be warm or hot. Then he knows something wholesome must have happened. Then he will survey the world. It seems under Jataka's story, there were many occasions. Then he sometimes come down and transform himself into normal human beings. Then there was one occasion, I think King Saka, he wanted marriage. But I think one of the disciples of the Buddha, the Arahant, I think with the heavenly eye or psychic ability, can see through him. So he has to appear as normal. So there were many Jataka stories which were very interesting. So this King Saka, it seems, he is already enlightened. He is a Sotapan at the time of Sakyamuni Buddha, which was 2600 years ago. It seems he liked to stay as a Sotapan so that he can have another seven life to live on. So as a Sotapan, first stage of sainthood, there is a maximum of seven birth within the century, seven birth. Then if you happen to cultivate and develop the second stage of sainthood, Sakadagami, then you become a once returner. Means you return to the century only once. After that, you become Arahant. You cannot come back anymore. Or sometimes you become Anagami and stay in the form line, the pure airport there. Then once you become an Anagami, if you are in the sensual realm or in our human realm, then you become a non-returner. Non-returner means you don't return to the sensual realm. So that is the meaning of Anagami, non-returner. Then after you go beyond Anagami, you will realize Arahantship. So Arahantship, once you hit Arahantship, technically you become fully, completely enlightened. Your 10 fetters are all severed. Then you will not have rebirth. You don't return at all to the womb. But there is a lack of understanding in this aspect. Like Bodhisattva, they can still return. But Bodhisattva, when they return, they are not born out of ignorance. They are like the Arahants and beyond. They are already enlightened. That's why upon death, like Arahants and Bodhisattvas, they will not have ignorance because they have the wisdom. And they have rooted out all the 10 fetters, especially avijja. So without avijja, there is no rebirth consciousness. So rebirth due to ignorance, no more. So the segmented form and mind, no more. That's why arahan, they won't take rebirth. But if you have the understanding to cultivate the bodhisattva way, then you can still come back. But when you die as a bodhisattva, taking the bodhisattva way, there is no ignorance. That's why you don't die as an ignorant living being. Then take rebirth within the 31 plane of existence like normal people. This being, they will have to have the understanding to come back. Come back in the sense that that birth is not due to ignorance. That birth is out of a pure mind, born out of love and compassion. Then this pure mind, where you need a mind, together with the karmic nature that still exists, can condition a form and mind, not out of ignorance, but out of love and compassion. That's the reason why they have to take the four basic vow of a bodhisattva. The four basic vow, the first vow is very important. Out of love and compassion for the living being, all bodhisattva will vow to save the limitless living being throughout the entire existence. So they vow to save the limitless or innumerous living beings in this universe. So that vow is very powerful. That one is born of love and compassion. Without having that vow, they cannot come back. Because of that vow, it goes into the nature's law and it can condition a pure mind which has love and compassion, no ignorance, nothing. Then this pure mind, because of the vow, it has the condition to come back to the existential world. That's how the karmic nature can condition the form and mind to arise. So when the form and mind arise, the great bodhisattva's coming is not due to ignorance. So that is the difference. This is for those who have the interest to go the bodhisattva way. Then you move on to the next rhyme. After the 33 worlds or heaven, you have the Yama Devas or the Yama Rhyme. Yamas, they are beings that are very fine, more fine than the 33 heavens. These Devas, they live in the air, free of all difficulties. They are very unique beings. Then after that rhyme, you move on to the Tusita heaven. Tusita heaven is a very special rhyme. These are called devas that are very contented. And this is also the rhyme of pure delight and gaiety. And most bodhisattva before they become Sammasambuddha, their last birth before they become Sammasambuddha, they tend to take birth at this Tusita heaven, abide here prior to the final human birth. This is where Bodhisattva Maitreya, the next Buddha, is said to be dwelling. So this rhyme is very unique, Tusita heaven. Then after Tusita heaven, you have this Nimanarati Devas. So these are the Devas that delight in creation. So this Deva, they delight in the sense object of their own creation. They like has psychic and magical power. They can create. That's why these are the beings that actually like to, I think they like to make fun of those humans who cultivate jhanas or concentration of mind. Because you think you're very good, they are actually better than you. Because they can manifest many things, their psychic are also very good. So when they know you are doing that, they can sometimes come down and mislead you or disturb you or make fun of you. And sometimes they really do a lot of very messy things too. So this group of devas, they tend to have that ability, delighting in creation. Then after that, the highest rhyme within the deva rhyme is this deva bending power over the creations of others. They are called para nimitta vasavati devas. This deva enjoys sense pleasure created by others for them. So Mara, the personification of delusion and desire, live here. So these are the ones that disturb the cultivator that go after samatha meditation to develop jhana, concentration. Or they call it energy field. These are the devas that really come and look for you. You have good parami, you don't worry. But if you don't have good parami, you still have delusion. You may get into trouble. So avoid, if you can, going into all this samatha or energy field or meditation. If you know how to do it, you have a proper teacher, a proper guide, then it's okay. During the Buddha's time, they have a lot of monks who did jhana too. But like the Buddha follow some of the teachers, the first two, Alara and Udaka, he himself also perfected all the eight jhanas. But he knew he was not enlightened, that this was not what he was looking for or searching for. So he continued to cultivate until finally the Bodhi tree, the faithful night of Vesak, he connect through and become the fully enlightened one. Then he realized it's not jhana that make you enlightened. It is wisdom, understanding that root out the 10 fetters that make you enlightened. Then his problem was, he left the palace because he saw the four signs. The first sign was an old man, very, very old, haggard, fragile, weak. Then he asked the attendant, who is this person? How come he is so haggard? So the attendant told him, he is an old man. As you grow old, finally each and every one of us, if we live long enough, we also will become like him. So because of that, the Buddha knew he has a problem, he cannot overcome old age. Then he saw a sick man, really, really sick, disease, suffering, miserable. So the old man, the senses fail him, very weak, very fragile, a lot of problem. Then the sick and diseased man, also full of suffering, misery. So he knew if that is the reality, he has no answer to these two, getting old, getting sick, or be diseased. Then finally he saw a dead man, and that was the last straw that breaks the camel's back. When the attendant told him that that is a dead man, that's why they send him for cremation. He said, what do you mean by dead man? He said, every one of us, sooner or later, one day, we have to die, and we will die. That's why death is certain, even though life may be uncertain. So this aspect of old age sickness and death really prompted the Buddha to really, really seek out the truth, to realize the enlightenment so that he can be free of old age sickness and death. Otherwise, he told himself, all the enjoyment, the good life that the Father has given him, the four palaces or the four seasons, with everything that is so wonderful, so beautiful, so like sensually very, very happy. All this type of happiness and joy has got no meaning when he realized he will get old, he will get sick, and finally die. But he got no answer to this three problem. That's why he decided to leave the palace, renounce the world, and follow the way of the ascetic. Ascetic is the fourth sign. He saw a samana, an ascetic, a monk who shave, put on the robe, and seek for truth, seek enlightenment. That's why he also went away from the palace, middle of the night, to join the ascetics and to cultivate, to realize the enlightenment, and to seek the answer to the problem that he has seen. He need to overcome old age, sickness, and death. So underneath the Bodhi tree, at the night of the enlightenment, what he realized was actually basically very simple. He finally realized that this five aggregate of form and mind, the so-called human being, the segmented form and mind that he is having, is impermanent. Not real, not a permanent unchanging entity, not him. This one is karmically conditioned, dependent originating, conditioned arising causal phenomena, a vehicle and a tool for him to come to this world, to live life, to experience life, to cultivate, to fulfill his vow, his karmic condition, and to do what he wants to do. So when he realized this, his problem is gone, because old age, sickness, and death pertain to the form and mind, the human condition, the so-called human being, which has got nothing to do with his nature. His nature is eternal life, never born. That's why never get old, never get sick and die. That realization is very profound. And that realization is what makes Buddhism unique, make his teaching unique. And this understanding is in fact very important. Not many Buddhists really understand this aspect of the teaching. That's why enlightenment is about wisdom, seeing clearly the reality, the truth. Then when you understand the reality, the truth, you will not be deluded anymore. No more ignorance, no more rebirth, no more suffering, no more problem. You attain to the peace. Nibbana. You realize Nibbana, the unconditioned. That's how you return to the unconditioned, the source, from which all phenomena arise, or all beings arise. So this uniqueness of the Buddhist teaching is very powerful, very beautiful. So this aspect of the teaching, you must develop your understanding. You must meditate, realize the truth, awaken, and have that understanding. Then you can live life. Then you can understand life. Then the secret of life will be clearly understood. It will unfold in front of you. Then you will be able to find meaning in life and live the wonderful life, the life that is full of meaning. Then you can experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life, and you can do what you want. You can live the third phase of Dhamma Pativeda, the life of enlightened being, where there is no more suffering, no more problem. You are always full of joy and peace with all things. Your life is perfect. They call it the ideal life, where there is no more problem. And yet, life can be meaningful, wonderful. That's the reason why our Heart Sutta, there is a sentence that Guan Yin Bodhisattva recite. He said, "Zhen Kong Miao Yu." The meaning is, true emptiness is wonderful existence. This is very beautiful, very profound, very true. True emptiness is wonderful existence means when you realize enlightenment, when you penetrate true emptiness, when you know that all phenomena are empty. Empty means what? No reality. Everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. That's why it has the universal characteristics of impermanent. Things that are impermanent is not a permanent, unchanging entity. And they follow nature's law. If you want things your way, which is not nature's way, you suffer. That's why the universal characteristics of dukkha arise. Because it is impermanent, the universal characteristics of dukkha and anatta arise. Anatta means non-self nature or empty nature or existence. It is not a permanent and changing entity. So everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. When you understand this, you awaken. And you become beautiful. Then life becomes wonderful. Life is just amazing, meaningful, wonderful, beautiful. Your mind is always heedful, aware, full of peace, joy, and understanding, the wisdom connected. That's why that form of mind, that segmented life, the human being is no longer deluded. That's why he can live life to the fullest. He can experience all of the pristine wonders and beauties and wonders of life. And you can be a great blessing to all. That's the beauty of the Buddha Dharma, the Buddhist teaching, is capable of such wonders, such beautiful understanding. And okay, we go back to the notes. So I believe I finish the Deva rhymes. Then I go down to the human rhymes. Okay, human rhyme is special. There's an arrow in blue color. We are called manusa, humans. Rhyme is loka, so rhymes of the humans, the human rhyme. So you are here, I put in bracket for now, miss this life, this segmented life. After that, you can be anywhere in the 31 place. Unless you become Arahant and decide to stop, then you don't have to come back again. No coming back means no birth, no old age, sickness and death, no suffering. So rebirth as a human being is extraordinary rare. Like the Buddha's analogy, is also extraordinarily precious as its unique balance of pleasure and pain facilitate the development of virtue and wisdom to the degree necessary to set one free from the entire cycles of river. Our human rhyme, according to the scripture, is very unique. In fact, it is said all Samasambuddha's last birthday will take place in the human rhyme. Because this is the rhyme where the two extremes are. If you develop your mind, cultivate your virtue, your wisdom, and perfection, you can reach the highest perfection, realize Samasambuddhahood. But if you are heedless, you neglect your training, you heedlessly live your life and create all those havoc, you can fall down to the deepest hell, Apaya. So this Apaya rhyme are called the hell rhymes, or the rhyme of the woeful state. So the rhyme of the woeful state is below the human rhyme. Hell is called Niraya. So this Apaya, they have four rhymes. They have the Asuras, the animals, the hungry ghosts, and the hell rhyme. So the hell rhyme is the deepest hell, Apaya. Apaya, Niraya. So before I describe the Apaya, I go back to the human rhymes. So it seems our rhyme is called Kama Sukkati, happy rhyme of the sensual world. And we are supposed to be a very special rhyme because it's an extraordinary rhyme in the sense that rebirth as a human being is very rare indeed. The energy of the turtle egg with a hole in it and all this thing. Then it is also a unique balance of pleasure and pain. But when we are born as human, means we're supposed to have parami to enjoy the happy rhyme. But law of karma is such, there are a mixture of happiness and sorrow, suffering, dukkha. So because of that, the human rhyme can have two extremes. That's why people like to come to the human rhyme to cultivate. That it is here, you can see a lot of suffering, a lot of misery, a lot of things that other rhyme don't have, like the Deva rhyme. They don't have problem at all, except when they are about to die. It seems they start to sweat. Only during that moment, the Devas become miserable. But before that, they really enjoy life. No need to work. Everything is provided for, and it's so beautiful. That's why they call it the rhymes of the heavens. So, on the right hand side, there is some good comments too. Here, the human rhyme is very suitable for the development of virtue and wisdom, the attainment of sainthood, stream entry, sotapanaship or sotapati, guarantees that all future rebirth will be in the human rhyme or higher rhymes. So this one is, according to the scripture, the sotapan, they have seven more rebirth maximum, they're coming back. They can come back into the sensual rhyme as human being or devas. They will not take birth below the human beings. Means the Apaya rhyme, they won't. So we move on to the next. The state of deprivation or Apaya, they call it the woeful state. W-O-E-F-U-L, woeful. The first rhyme of the Apaya is called Asura. Asura are demons. So these are the demon rhymes. They are the ones that have a lot of anger, hatred. They mostly do the 10 unwholesome actions. They lack virtue and hold a lot of hatred and anger. That's why they fight a lot. Sometimes they fight with the devas, especially fight with the four guardian devas. They call it the earth devas, those that are nearer to earth. Then these demons that dwell here are engaged in relentless conflict with each other. That's why there's a lot of Jataka story about this Asura fighting. And they are very fierce, very violent. So don't get yourself involved with all these Asuras. Then in the Chinese tradition, sometimes you also have to be careful. Because sometimes they go to the medium, they go and invite, they thought it's Deva, but actually they are Asura. So you don't play a fool. Sometimes they ask the medium to chant that, chanting to invite that Asura to come. Sometimes they call them Horsina, and many types of Devas. But they are mainly Asuras, so you have to be careful. Okay, then we go to the next rhyme is Tirachana Yoni. This is the animal rhyme. So this rhyme includes all the non-human form of life that are visible to us under ordinary circumstances, because we have seen animals, insects are included, fishes, birds, worms, etc. These are called animals. That's why it's called Tirachana. These are beings that die due to lack of virtue, holding wrong view. So when you have wrong view, you really born in the animal rhyme, behaving like an animal. Then they also will have most of the 10 unwholesome actions. Sometimes these animal rhymes, you cannot classify all as ignorant. Some of these animals, like you have seen, certain dogs, they are very intelligent. Certain pets, they are very intelligent. Then sometimes bodhisattvas, they take birth in this rhyme too. In the Jataka story, I think Sakyamuni Buddha also took birth many lives as animal. But every time he became animal, he is like the leader of the herds. And he came to understand their existence and lead them out and free them and protect them. Sometimes as deer, head of the herds. Many other Jataka story too. You have the chance to read, you can go through it. Then the next rhyme is the rhyme of Peta, Petaloka, or Hungry Ghost rhyme. So these ghosts, they are the unhappy spirit wandering hopelessly about in this rhyme, searching in vain for sensual fulfillment. But because of their crime, because they have greed, they lack virtue, they hold on to a lot of wrong view, and their evil roots of greed is very strong. That's why they become hungry ghosts. And this being, they are born under such condition. Even if you offer them food, they cannot take. The moment you reach their mouth, it becomes hot burning charcoal. Even Mongolana, Guan Yin, they try in certain life to help their parents, past life parents who took birth down there. They can't. Despite Mongolana's psychic and honest thing, they can't. So, according to the Jataka story or the Tipitaka recorded version, it seems Sakyamuni Buddha came to know what Mongolana was trying to do. Then Sakyamuni Buddha advised him. He said, not by that way. By that way, you can't. You use your psychic. No point. You can go down to the hell and try to help. I can't. Well, these are karmic conditioning. These are nature's law. Very powerful. So what he suggests to him was, he said, you can go and make offering to the Buddhas and enlightened beings of the three period of time. That's how the Hungry Ghost Festival come about, it seems. I'm not very sure, but it was told something like that. The last time I heard from Reverend Suwan, you can check it out. So there was a famous Mayan story too. Mu Lian Jiu Mu is about Mongala, how he saved the mother from the time of birth. Then finally is the hell, Niraya. Niraya Loka, Apaya Niraya, the hell rhyme. These are rhymes of unimaginable suffering, really unimaginable, and anguish. Should not be confused with the eternal hell found in other religion or tradition, since one's time here is also limited, as it is in every rhyme. Temporary means you won't suffer for eternity. No, hell rhyme also has its time. Then it seems under the Terakoda Sutta, I read the sutta before because there was an analogy that the Buddha gave, it seems, if I may recall, because the king Bimbisara, he wants to know how is hell like. Then he gave analogy to the king. He said, "Oh king, a good analogy is like you have caught in your kingdom, maybe very violent and mischievous and very evil bandits, or thief or evil person, very very evil. How would you have tortured him?" So it seems, according to the Buddha, our human rhyme sentence is very lenient. You put them in jail, you provide them with food and shelter. Sometimes they prefer to get caught and go into the prison. You have no need to work. Then there is also this what they call understanding of this hell rhyme. Is a human rhyme, maybe the worst is death sentence. Straight away they electrocute you or hang you. Within not long, maybe a few minutes, you are gone. But in the hell rhyme, the Buddha say not so easy, because you are hell being. You cannot die, understand? You are in that form that you cannot die on. So they will torture you in many, many ways, as you have seen from the Mayana story. Sometimes they boil you in boiling oil or molten metals, or they spear you on this thing. So the Buddha's analogy was, he said, let's say this type of fugitive, which is very evil, you are ready to torture this guy. He said, in the morning, he said, you take this guy out and ask your soldier to spear him, he said, 100 times, then let him bleed and suffer. Then after that, in the afternoon, come out again. Again, spear him another 100 times, and then let him suffer and bleed. He said, this continue until the night, every day, non-stop. This type of suffering, the Buddha say, the torture, is still not as bad as hell. The suffering that they receive in the hell rhyme is worse than this. So the king was really, really amazed. Oh, see, oh, never go down to the hell rhyme. So if you really want to avoid suffering, you better make sure you don't go down to the hell rhyme. And who are the beings that go down to the hell rhyme? They completely lack virtue, and full of wrong view, and all the three evil roots are there: greed, hatred, and delusion. And the heavy karma is also one of the very fast coming that will send you down there. Murdering of your parents, murdering an arahant, injury the Buddha, causing Sikhism in the Sangha, being quarrelsome and annoying to others. Then they dare to do all the evil things. like rape, causing war, disharmony, and all those things. So this rhyme is very severe. You must not play a fool. Huh? So there were many Jataka stories towards this end. It seems there was one line, the Bodhisattva, he was a king. Then after his passing away, he was sent out to this hell rhyme for 60,000. Don't know what measurement, there's a measurement, 60,000 years or what, very long. So he suffered. Then finally, when he came out, he actually was born a prince again. Then the mother, who was a deva, advised him, "Can you recall what happened when you were a king in your previous life? And because of your decision to declare war, torture, cause harm and all things, you were sent now to the hell and you suffer for so long. Do you want to continue that type of coming?" So the Bodhisattva said no. "Then you must do something." That's why he pretend to be very fragile, very weak, very stupid. Then until finally the king give up on him and send him off. And then only he become an ascetic, meditate, and finally become very successful, very famous, enlightened. But by then, the king knew about him. It's too late. The king was very old. Really. So there were many stories of this kind. So don't always aspire to be emperor or king, unless you are a good emperor and a good king. But most king and emperor has to make drastic decision to declare war, to fight war, and to punish their fugitive and all those things, or evil personnel whom they caught. So all this is part and parcel of coming. The Brahma rhyme. So the Brahma rhyme is called Rupaloka. This is a form rhyme. So there are 16 Brahma rhyme. Then there are four formless rhyme, Arupa Loka. So 16 plus 4 is 20. Then down there, 6 Deva, 26. 1 human rhyme, 27. Then the 4 Apayas, 31. So this is how they add up. Okay. So we go back to the form rhyme now. The lowest of the form rhyme is retinue of Brahmas, and the minister of Brahmas. So these are the beings that have developed jhanas, mental samatha meditation training. When they are able to develop the form jhanas, first, second, third, and fourth jhana are called form jhana. Then they will take birth in the Brahma rhyme. And there are 16 Brahma rhyme. So it's categorized. The first jhana, if you are able to only reach the first jhana, then you will take birth in the 12, 13, and 14 rhyme above the human. Yeah. So they are called the retinue of Brahmas and the ministers of Brahmas. Means these Brahmas or beings in this place, they enjoy varying degree of jhanic bliss. So first jhana is not so intense, not so strong. They have the five jhanic factor: vitaka, vichara, which are applied thought and sustained thought. Then they experience piti when they apply their thought and sustain their thought there without allowing the thought to move. Then they experience a type of peace called piti, a spiritual calmness. Then this piti is not very strong in the first jhana. Then after that, there are two more jhanic factors which are Sukhang and Ekagata. So first jhana, they don't reach this. Then when you move on to the second jhana, here they will experience Sukhang. Then you have to relinquish piti to experience Sukhang. So those that are born having second jhana, they will take birth in either of these rhyme. They have the rhyme devas of limited radiance, devas of unbound radiance, and devas of stream radiance. They are the 15, 16, and 17 rhyme above the devas. These are Brahmas above the Deva. Deva rhyme is 11. So above them is this 15, 16, and 17. Then if you develop until the third jhana, you can be born under this 18 rhyme, 19, 20, 21, and 22. So these are, until 21, 18 to 21. These are the devas of limited glory, and devas of unbound glory, devas of refulgent glory, and very fruitful devas. Beings in this plane enjoy varying degree of jhanic bliss. So here the third jhana is more calm, more peaceful. Your second jhana, piti, is stable. Then after that, you can also experience sukhang. Then when you relinquish piti, you go into the third jhana. Then when you go into the third jhana, you can relinquish sukhang. Then you go into one-pointedness, ekagata. You will realize the fourth jhana. So fourth jhana is symbolized by upeka, equanimity, because your mind is one-pointedness, equanimous. Then under the fourth jhana, there is one rhyme, very funny, rhyme 22. They call it the unconscious rhyme. I don't know why they call it that. Where only body is present, there is no mind. This one I'm not very sure. You all check out yourself. But to me, to take birth, there must be a mind. But it seems this rhyme, there is only form, no mind. Unconscious being. So unconscious being is like vegetable or rhyme. Then above this one are very beautiful rhymes. They are called the pure abbot or Sudavasa. Sudavasa are the rhyme only accessible by non-returner or anagami and arahants. So if you are anagami and arahant, you can take, if you are anagami, you can take birth in this five state of pure abbot. But if you finish your cultivation and become arahant, you can also exist here. Because after arahant, no more rebirth. So they are called the devas not falling away. Untroubled devas, beautiful devas, clear-sighted devas, and peerless devas. So these five rhyme of pure abbot are very unique rhyme where only anagami take birth. So these are very special beings. Then it is also in this rhyme that Brahma Sahampati, who begs the Buddha to teach to the world. He is the Brahma from this rhyme that came down to our earth to to actually pay respect to Sakyamuni Buddha. When he becomes Samasam Buddha, where he can read his mind and ask him to share. He said there are cultivators with little dust in the eye, in their eyes, where they can understand your teaching. So Brahma Sahampati is very famous. Then I'll read the comments. There are 5 pure airboats called Sudavasa, which are accessible only to non-returner or anagami. And Arahan also can stay here. Beings that become non-returner in other planes are reborn here too, where they attain Arahanship and cease. Among the inhabitants in this rhyme are Brahma Sampati, who begs the Buddha to teach the Dhamma to the world. So this is the form rhyme. Then after that, we will finish off with the formless rhyme, Arupa Loka. So those who do the formless jhana, the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th jhanas, they will take rebirth up here in the formless rhyme. The 30th plane and the 31st plane, the highest 2 plane. These are where the 2 teacher of Sakyamuni Buddha, they aspire to take their final birth, where they believe this is the highest achievement. So one of them, Alarai Udaka, they actually take birth in this rhyme of nothingness, the 30th rhyme. So this one is the 3rd formless jhana. Then the last one is rhyme of neither perception or non-perception. This one, their lifespan is very long. It seems the lifespan, they are talking about tens of thousands or aeons. Really, really long. Just up there, the formless rhyme, time like doesn't really pass by. I remember I went into one of these during the early days. It's like very short time, you know. Yeah. When I came out of it, I thought it was half an hour. I looked at my watch. I was 4 hours inside there. That's why this one, the dimension of time become very different. Maybe to them, like 40,000 eons, to us it's like very, very long, where we use early time. But to them, it's like not that long. Then I have to explain a bit. This formless jhana, when you develop them, you have to develop the understanding of the 1st formless jhana, when your mind becomes very quiet, very peaceful, very still. Then you contemplate space as infinite. Then you silent. Then you go into it. This one is not easy to do, but there are people who can do. Then the other one is to contemplate consciousness as infinite. So the rhyme of infinite space and infinite consciousness, these are the 5th and 6th jhana, or the 1st and 2nd formless jhana. Then there is a 3rd rhyme, 3rd formless jhana. This one is like the rhyme of nothingness, like there is nothing, everything is just peace, still, nothing, not even consciousness. That's why they call it the rhyme of nothingness. Then after that, when you go up higher, your mind becomes more refined. It becomes so fine until that mind cannot distinguish between perception and non-perception. There is neither perception nor non-perception. So that is the highest, the 31st rhyme. This is the 4th formless jhana, or we call it the 8th jhanas. So the inhabitants of this rhyme are possessed entirely of mind. They don't have a physical body. Having no physical body, sense organ, they are unable to hear Dhamma teaching. This one, I don't think so. Because maybe true. This one is true. They are not able to. The Pure Airport one can go down because Sahampati went down. Maybe, yeah. This one, I think they cannot be rich. That's why Sakyamuni couldn't reach Alara and Udaka, although they take birth up there. Because they don't have the senses. So they become like very still up there. And they live very long. For a very, very long period. They are talking about 80,000 eons, the highest, the longest, the fourth formless jhana. Okay, with that we finish. Yeah, then maybe we will open up for second session where you can report your meditation or ask questions relating to this topic or your meditation. So long time yes. I haven't heard from Suyan.
Okay. Well, now we are back into CMCO.
Yeah.
So now more chance for us to stay at home and
practice. Yeah, cannot run around.
So if you miss the first round, now you got second round.
good.
Well, what's more important is our mindfulness in daily life.
Yeah, that one is very important. Yes.
Every action, every movement in the moment.
In the present moment, what you are doing,
I think.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier when you sit down and meditate. Yeah.
Yes, because that will slow down your heedless thinking.
Right.
Otherwise, your thinking proliferate like nobody. Because when you are aware, you cannot think. It's either you are aware or lost in thought. Lost in thought means heedlessly thinking, doing all the unbeneficial things. Sankara dukkang, miserable, suffering. All this, like the banana stem, feel at the core of it, empty, nothing. And yet you go and think about it, worry about it. Develop sorrow, lamentation, problem out of it. Continue, Sian, yes.
Yeah, so I mean, the main thing is that now that you stay more at home, you don't have to go out, get caught in a traffic jam, and do a lot of mundane things that would distract our mindfulness.
Yeah, very good.
So now you've got a good chance to practice, lah. I mean, it's like a self-retreat at home.
Yeah. Then you can develop your religious routine. Wake up early, do your routine. Then throughout the day, maintain mindfulness, especially daily mindfulness. When it become a new way of living life, means a new way of developing mindfulness sets in. That it will transform you from a heedless way of living into a heedful way of living. Then when the daily mindfulness stabilizes, the form of mind will know. Suddenly you will come to realize, hey, you are different already. How come now the thought doesn't run already? Everything is like with the moment, all your action, all your movement, the awareness is with it, automatic. Yeah. But initially very difficult, like Song went through, split second is gone. Very difficult to maintain mindfulness, daily mindfulness. Don't worry, persevere, have faith, sincere, persevere. Just do. Every time you wander off, bring it back. That's why I told you, when I determine, within 2 weeks it come to me. And everything I do, I develop mindfulness, bowing with the faith. Walking, sitting, turning, bending, stretching, whatever. Even when I eat my food, how my hand move, how my eye blink, how I turn my hand, how my physical movement, then how I observe things, specific phenomenal awareness. I can see all those movements. My awareness is with them. Then you realize it's not difficult. It can be done. Initially, because the heedless thinking has been so habitual and the mental hindrance are so strong, you can't do much to it. But as you determine and persevere and do it, it will come. It's like initially the water, you open the tap, drip. Maybe after a few seconds, another drip, or the drips starts form. Then later on, if you open it a bit more, then the drip become faster, faster, faster. Then this drip finally become like a stream. The water flow out like a stream. Yeah. Then that stream later on will become like a full flow. It gushes out. At that time is your mindfulness is already very stable. Means only mindfulness, nothing else. Your mind is always aware. Yeah. That is when it is part of you. When your mind enters the deep, it becomes like that. Yeah. Then you find it very strange after that. You want to be heedless also cannot. Oh, it is like irreversible. Very strange. Yeah, Suyan, you can continue.
Actually, Brother Teo, you're absolutely right. Actually, from the morning, the moment your eyes open up, and then you are aware that you want to get out of bed.
Correct. That is the first instant aware of your bodily posture, then your mental thinking, your movement of thought, the intention, then how your tactile consciousness, the bladder, then how you move, how you arise, see all those things. How you turn, how you move your blanket or comforter, then how you come out, fully aware. If you can do that, that is the beginning. Then you will become very good. Then after that, how you go to your washroom, like I described to you all before. Then how your sense or consciousness, what goes on in your brain, you will know. First thing is, of course, answer nature's call. When you answer nature's call, if you are mindful, a lot of things happen in between. And you don't need to hurry on. It's like everything is within your understanding. You don't need to hurry. You will slow down and yet you will do it very well. Then everything you do is with mindfulness and awareness, even answering nature's call. You don't get distracted at all. And you can see the whole process. And with mindfulness is so different, like Po Ching described. Choosing fruits with mindfulness is so different. There is so much clarity and so much joy in doing that. Because the mind is free, peaceful, doesn't think, doesn't have any worry, anxiety, it doesn't project into the future or recall, oh, today what must I do, where must I go? All those things doesn't disturb you anymore. Because later on, when you progress and transform, your memory also will become different. Because when it becomes less and less grasping, they call it non-grasping aggregate. When your wisdom develop, your understanding develop, it becomes non-grasping. Then you cannot hold on to things. Then your memory like not so good, but it's actually not so good. Because you don't hold on to anymore. Because you cannot hold on to. It's like you can like carefree like that. You don't have to worry. But the funny thing is, when you make a note of it, when the time comes, that memory will come up and prompt you, and you will recall. Then what I did was later on, I write down whatever I need to recall or what I write down. Because otherwise, it is gone. Then I write down. So every time I write down, I will go through it. Whatever that I have done, I will tick. Then those that I miss out, I will also know. Then I know, oh, this one I haven't done yet. So writing down is very important. It saves you the trouble of trying to recall or remember. Actually, no need. I realize no need. Then after that, very funny, you need to know, you will know. The condition will arrive for somebody to set the condition to remind you on. Then you will recall, oh yeah, I promised so and so, yeah, that day. Otherwise, I will ask my wife to help me. I will always tell her, hey, remind me that day I got this thing to do. And she's very good. She used to remind me. So that is helpful. So these are the ways as you progress, you develop your own understanding and your own unique way to actually deal with the transformation. Whatever happened is part of the way. It's proper good transformation. So you have the accord and flow and develop the understanding and the joy and continue with the development of this so-called mindfulness leading to wisdom, virtue and wisdom. And these are beautiful cultivation, especially daily mindfulness. Suyan, you can continue some more.
Continuing from the morning, so when you wake up, you brush your teeth, right?
Yeah.
So I've got this ultrasonic toothbrush. I think, Brother Chiu, you also have.
Mm-hmm.
So now, last time when I do, when you brush your teeth, you just mindlessly brush,
right? Yeah.
Thinking, what am I doing? What I'm going to do the rest of the day?
Active. You think of something else. You are aware of what is going on.
Right. So now with the ultrasonic toothbrush, I can feel.
Stay with it.
And now it's
awareness and the thing as well.
So you're very mindful exactly where you're brushing.
Very good.
And then whether it's clean or not, you can actually feel that feel a little bit then. Yeah.
Correct. And that one will make you stay with the present moment. Otherwise, you try to check that. Thought is very active. Actually, as you brush, you are not aware of the movement and what is going on in your mouth, but your thought, thinking.
It's gone outside.
gone outside, and also your planning, what you want to do, you're supposed to meet who. All this has nothing to do with what you are doing in the moment. You are not aware of your posture, you are not aware of your hand movement, you are not aware of how the brushing of teeth take place. Then like that one motorized on the more modern gazette. My son and my daughter and my wife say very useful. They like it. And thank you for her buying for them.
That's very good.
Very good. Yeah.
Okay, then continue from there. These days when I eat the breakfast or the lunch, not just the eating, now the tasting, you can actually taste it. Rather, in the past, you're just
the chewing process become clear now. Then when you taste, it's the completely chewed type of food. Like I tested it last night, early day, when I chew the white rice, later on it becomes sweet because it's actually carbohydrate. Then that taste, that sensation, that taste, that feeling of it, everything is very clear. So the mind that is aware has that ability, is sensitive. It can know many things that normal people cannot know. That's why mindfulness, as you do develop, you become very different. You transform. You become very, very different. Sensitive. Very good. Continue.
So I'm aware of the taste, even though simple cha mi hun or something, you're aware that, hey, this one, the taste is very nice. Right? Then beyond that, as you eat, sometimes you get stuck in the teeth, you're also aware that, there's food stuck in between the teeth.
Yeah.
So those sensitive things that mean bit by bit, you tend to note more.
Yeah. Very true.
Good, Sadhu, at least somebody has really gone into it.
So which means throughout the day, you're more aware of things as it happens, rather than as you do, your mind used to go out, used to go out, think about
these,
that. So now the mind is, the awareness is within the body itself.
You have more moments of awareness.
Yeah.
And that is how you slow down the thinking. Decondition the heedless thinking. But the moment you are aware, you cannot think. The moment you are aware, you cannot think. But when you want to know, you will start to think. That's why don't try to know. Just let things be. Unless you want to contemplate, reflect, and understand. And then it's different. That one is not thinking. That one is contemplation. Means with clarity of mind, with understanding, you throw out the Dhamma. Then you investigate. That is not thinking. The thinking one is heedless one and very non-stop one. Continue to think without heedfulness one. Whereas contemplation is you are mindful, you are aware, and you let that contemplative understanding unfold from the creative nature. But when you throw out the Dhamma, like Why did the Buddha say birth is suffering? Then you reflect, contemplate, let the creative nature recollect to life experience or memory what happened in life. And then you will hit a spot, oh, no wonder the Buddha said birth is suffering, because the birth process, you have seen them and you have witnessed them. And sometimes, if you are married, you will have some experience. Or you would have observed your parents and your sisters or those who are related to you going through that process. So all this is recollection, reflection, contemplation, not the heedless thinking. The heedless thinking is like daydreaming one, non-stop one. And the mind cannot quiet down one, because the mental hindrances are there, the spiritual faculty is not stable, and it's so habitual, they keep on thinking. That's why every moment of sense experience, they stir their mind, they react, they think. So if you do your daily mindfulness, you will start to see all this. Then you realize, especially the first time when I tried, I realized hardly 5 minutes a day mindful. When Achayantra mentioned that highest meditation, I tried. I was hardly mindful, 5 minutes only a day, cannot. Then I realized I have not done the real meditation. That's why I determined to be aware, mindful. Every time this awareness run off, I bring it back. I anchor it to my heart at that time, until the heart become like very strong. Like it asks me to slow down. I cannot continue because the energy is too strong. But that time, I don't know how to really relax. So later on only, I start to develop my own understanding. Then when I start to relax, all this stabilize, all this goes in. Then you can actually radiate out to metta, all this energy that build up. Then your heart open up. When your heart open up, the mindfulness become easier. Then when you are aware, the heart area, it keep on opening up a lot of things. Then this mindfulness is wisdom energy. You just silence everything and stay there. Then it will activate by itself. It will move by itself. It will trigger off whatever it's supposed to do. Then sometimes at certain area, if you stay there, then the byproduct is gaseous. You tend to fart a lot. That's why that time a lot of the toxic gas or whatever gaseous thing that's supposed to come out, trapped inside your organ and your system, they will start to release. Once that awareness or sati or that silent mind, that awareness nature is there, it's like wisdom energy, pure energy. It will release it. And you start to understand many things, many, many things. So this is the possible outcome of those who did it, try and go through it. Luckily, you share this. Otherwise, I cannot add into what can happen. Other people may not have the ability to understand. But this whole of daily mindfulness is another new field. Very, very different. If you don't do, you cannot understand. That's why last time I didn't really want to share much. I only share the basic, like how you wake up and all those things. Then we have started to do. Now I can go deeper and advise him and those who are doing the daily mindfulness of how all this can happen and how to use it and how to develop that silence. That silence is very beautiful. The moment you are just aware that silent mind is the meditative mind. That one is fantastic. Even when you are asleep, you can just stay there. That like song, is it? The very subtle, deep heartbeat inside there, the very subtle one. He can go in and feel it. Like your brain and also you can go in and feel it. All the movement inside there. That's why when I eat something, which part of the brain trigger, I know. I can sense it. Until your sensitivity is very sharp, then you like your whole body, you can understand. Which part not right and all those things. That's why I know my body. So if people try to like tell me something about my body or give me medication or what, I can know. whether that person say got relevant or not, whether it's connected to what is happening inside or not. I can know. Then when if that person is good, I will also know. Especially that Sui An and Mi Fong last time, I think they were very thoughtful and kind. Took me to see one, the old 70 years old Chinese sensei. Oh, he is good, oh, Sui An.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
is his name already?
Lee.
Lee, huh?
Lee.
Sifu Lee. He is very good.
I think he's 81 already. That was a few years ago.
I went there 2 or 3 times, I think.
Yeah.
And every time he gave me the same medication. Yeah. And I really try it. It's very good. And that one is really that part of the organ that I need, that Chinese herb. He is really good. And I think ever since that, he has helped to improve my health too. Because he keep on repeating, telling me, I got that, I forgot, right? I got write it down. That part of my system, the organ, I lack certain thing that I need. So he told me to and take that prescription, that helps, which I did it quite regularly now. Every 3 or 6 months, my wife will go and buy. Then after that, I will take for 3 days. Then I now, touch wood, no need to see Vincent to whack the thing. Otherwise, last time, every time I get into trouble, Vincent will have to come. So all this is very, very helpful. So mindfulness is very important. Okay, Sui An, continue.
Well, actually, my point is that now we are in the CMCO. We still have another 12 days. So many of us would have the chance to do our self-practice. Lah. So don't miss this chance.
Good advice.
But there's also some rumors that it will extend beyond the 2 weeks for another 2 months.
Let it unfold, never mind. Now there is a lot of rumor.
Yeah, so anyway, the point is that don't miss this chance for self-practice, because by the time we go into 2021, I think we're just back to our normal routine.
Yeah. We will get to fly again. And we will have our retreat and spiritual trip again.
Right.
So that will be good. Oh, I forgot. There is something that Yun Chan sent me. Somewhere in Thailand. Chagino, I think there's a Achan Chagino. He went to that place. Very unique place in Thailand. I don't know where is it, but Yun Chan sent to me. Very beautiful. The stupa, the Buddha Rupang, they are above the cloud. And many monks like to go there for self-retreat and all things. And it seems that place is very isolated on nature, 14 kilometers away from the nearest city. I will send forward to you, then maybe you check with your Thai friend, together with Joyce, and see whether they know this place or not. So this could be our next spiritual visit. I have good sense that place is very good. I will forward to you. Oh, maybe
the Jin Sui Temple is also something similar. There's now a giant Buddha there.
Oh, you mean Genting there?
Halfway in the Jin Sui, and then the clouds will be coming in.
One is different. This one, the Chagino one, no casino nearby, no development nearby.
Uh-huh.
15 kilometer radius of nature. Beautiful nature. Beautiful nature.
Okay, we'll take a look at that.
Yeah. I'll forward to you. Then I see, I check with you whether it's okay to send to Kayamita or not.
Okay.
If can, then I will send to the Kayamita group. Very good. Sadhu, see ya. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sadhu. Sadhu for your sharing, Brother Teo.
Yeah, Sadhu to all. So today, sharing about 31 plane of existence, how you find it? Is it interesting?
Yes, especially the Asura. Suddenly it dawned upon me that there are a lot of people with a lot of anger.
Yeah. those emotional violent people.
Right. Smiling.
Like
some partner. People, every time you try to talk to them, it's as if dealing with a porcupine, you get poked.
So certain people are very sensitive. Small thing, they become very sensitive. Then they get
explode.
They explode. And sometimes they just, I saw also in the WhatsApp, they just tell people, for nothing. We have been classmates for so long. And yet this kind of thing happened. I also don't understand. That's why hopefully they learn.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you have anything else to add?
I think that's all for now.
Yeah, good. Okay, let us rejoice. Sadhu.
Sadhu.
Sadhu. So take note of Sri An's advice. Now is EMCO, another window for you to seriously cultivate. That time, Po Cheng was the leader. So now, Sri An is going to do it. So you all also can be motivated and really do it. And it's not difficult. Can be done. You look at Kok-Lun. Kok-Lun also did it. Then Brother Song, they all, even Ing-Bi, they all, and Pamasuri, and still many. Even my daughter, they are doing it, my wife. In fact, Alicia also. And there are many Kayamita who actually are doing very well. Some of them are quiet, and they have progressed. So last few months and also during the MCO, I think many Kayamitas were motivated. And the sharing during this MCO of this Heart Sutta, where I have more time, it become very different, very clear. You listen again, you will gain a lot of understanding, because this type of understanding is not easy to come by. You can't find very few people have this understanding. And most of this teaching, you cannot find other place. Okay, anybody else who wants to share or ask questions?
Brother Teo, good evening.
Joy, Sadhu, yeah. Good evening.
Very very busy session today,
Yeah.
Asking about Kajino, Ajahn Kajino's monastery. It's actually in northwest of Thailand called Mae Hon Son.
Oh, Mae Hon Son. Wow, yeah. Very nice place.
Yeah.
That place where my teacher Ajahn Yantra has the monastery, Kanchanapuri.
Okay. Mae Hon Son. So you can actually hold your retreat there. They can take in it about.
That's beautiful.
I think about 50 to 60 or 70 people. I'm not quite sure. I have to.
So your Thai friend can help organize.
Yeah. You can fly in from Bangkok.
Yeah. To Mae Hon Son.
Yeah.
Wow, Sadhu.
Don't have to go by road. Road is a couple of hours. Yeah.
Traveling, very good. That's very good. And Mae Hon Son is near the Burma border.
Right, it's at the border.
Yeah, it's very beautiful. That's a high ground. Oh, very nice.
Nice place. It's a very nice place.
Yes.
Lumpur Viradamo holds his retreat there quite often.
Oh, Sadhu. That place. I think
you have to wait for MCO or CMCO first.
So the condition just arise. Yunjan, are you here? If you are here, I seek your permission to just send the video you sent to me or the photo you sent to me to the Kayamita. Yunjan around. And then when I ask him, ask her tomorrow.
They have a Facebook, Brother Chiu.
Oh, okay. You can send the link?
Yeah, I can send you the link.
You continue, Joyce.
No, I thought you wanted to know that, so I'm telling you where is the place.
Then what about the Anandagiri collection? You can say some nice
words. I'm quite surprised, and it was really unexpected that many of the Kalamitas has been very generous.
Yeah.
And I think Ajahn Chalu is very touched by the generosity by the Malaysian, especially I told him that actually you actually started the ball rolling for this Katina donation. So overall, from two WhatsApp group and one Singapore group and one international group, we have collected roughly about 42,000 Malaysian ringgit.
Wow, sadio,
that's quite a fair bit. And very much thanks to all the donors.
Yeah.
In Malaysia, half of the donation actually comes from Malaysians.
Yeah, sadio.
So, Ajahn Anand will be presiding over the Anandagiri Katina this year, and there will be about 35 monks.
Wow.
Yeah, will be attending this Katina.
Oh, sadio.
It's going to be quite a big celebration.
Very big celebration, every host, and they take the trouble to appoint somebody to on our behalf make the offering.
Yes, yes. Ajahn says that well, that's the least that they can do. Is to get someone
to represent.
Actually, I think they're going to get Kun Dao. I think many of us know who Kun Dao is.
Yeah, Kun Dao, yes.
Yeah, I think, I'm not quite sure, but very likely it will be, she will be the one who will be representing us to offer the ropes to Ajahn Anand or to whoever the recipient Sangha is. And I have also arranged another Katina cloth for another Kalamita who wants to remain anonymous due to her illness.
So
we have two Katina rope to be offered during
The previous year when Mimi they over there and Yuan Chan, we also offered two that year.
It's basically conditioned, Ajahn. Brought you. Sometimes things like that pop up and somehow the paramis are there, so they are able to have certain people to arrange all these kind of things.
That's why, because of affinity. Our affinity, Ajahn Chalo and Anandagiri, is really beautiful, meant to be. Since the 8 years ago, the thing that is not meant to be become what happened. So we, on that trip, spiritual trip by Cindy and Mose, we're not supposed to visit his place. We are not in the itinerary. But then somehow, on the way, Mossy and Cindy keep on talking to me and say, Bratio, we must visit this place. Yes, yeah, on the way. Well, I say, okay, on the way we go. Then that's how Kalimita create affinity with Ajahn Chalo. And he took the trouble to show us around. Then we had that very nice conversation, chat, and understanding. Then Kalimita starts to like ask some questions, building kuti and all those things, and how to do the donation. And I remember Shokun and some Kayamita, they even asked for the papa. That was the first year we go after that for papa and the education fund and all those things. But at that time, they don't have a sangha, so they call it a papa instead of Katina. Then after that, it's a yearly affair because you actually develop affinity with Ajahn Chalo too. Then almost every year you go. Then for me, later on, I go there alternate year. So this is how we develop the affinity and the rapport. Then Ajahn also take the trouble to come over to teach and share. That's why all this just fall into place. Then we get to do a lot of wholesome activity. We are almost every wholesome project, Ajahn will let us know. Then we will do our part. We will chip in, we will raise the fund, and we will do the offerings. Especially the platform, the triple great being platform of Maitreya Buddha, Kuan Yin, and Sakyamuni Buddha. That platform was beautiful. Then later on, the stupa and all those things, then tree planting and many other things. Then a lot of kuti we also partake. And that place is getting more and more well developed and beautiful. That's why it's like a mini season. That place is wonderful, really. So, Tao Ajahn, thank you for the affinity. Yeah? And also, you are part of the main one, huh? Joyce. Without you, I think the rapport with Ajahn would not be that close because of you. Sadhu. Huh? That is
yes, sure.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, good. Yeah. Anything
so, though the support of the Kalamitas as well, without the Kalamitas, nothing will move anyway, you know. Mm-hmm. So the other thing is that the extended platform
for
the charity is already done and completed.
Oh, sadhu. Oh, that one last time we donated too.
Mm. Yeah. So now the platform has actually merged together with the road now.
Oh, sadhu, sadhu. Mm.
Because I think Ajahn, Ajahn thinks that that place is very special, and I think those people who goes to Anandagiri for self self retreat will probably make use of that place very much.
This place is very special. A lot of great beings, nature there.
Yeah, Ajahn asked me to tell you, Brother Teo, that you know, please get the Kalamitas to go and make use of the Kuti that we did.
Oh,
make
okay.
use of the place. We already built it, you know, and
Sadhu.
Yeah, try to go there and make use of the place. And
yeah,
of course, he says that you have to stay there no less than 10 days.
Yeah. After MCO.
Yeah. Okay. Sadhu to everybody. Yeah, sadhu.
Yeah. Let us rejoice. Sadhu. Sadhu. Sadhu.